The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. Dear sisters and brothers, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, first of all, let's go easy on Thomas, okay? This Sunday after Easter is always called Doubting Thomas Sunday. It's always this story from John 20, and Thomas always gets the bad rap. Well, all I want to say about Thomas for now, we'll get a little bit more later in the service, but for now I just want to say, do you actually think any of us would have done any better if we had been in his shoes? Oh, you saw a dead man come back to life, and he miraculously appeared in the middle of the room despite the locked doors. Sure, I can believe that. So let's go easy on Thomas. But I want to focus on him too much this morning. There's so much going on in this reading. We can't let Thomas dominate it. I want to look at the end of that story this morning. These things are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. And the question that I want to pose to you this morning is this: where do you find your life? Where do you find your life? In your job? Oh, Lord, no. In your retirement? In your money? Your possessions? Your status? Your reputation? Pastor, none of that. We know. We know better than that, right? None of that stuff. Maybe say, I find my life in my family. That sounds good, right? We want to encourage that? Except for this one thing. No other human being can ever bear the weight of you trying to find your life in them. It doesn't work. No matter how much you love them, no matter how much they love you, They can't bear that weight. In fact, what John wants us to see is that nothing can be the source of true, eternal, meaningful, creative, and purposeful life. Nothing at all. Except this Jesus. Now, history is the story of human beings trying to find life in all manner of other ways. We find meaning in our jobs, in our roles as parent or sibling, son or daughter. We find security in our bank account. Or maybe we find it in the national defense budget that will keep us safe. We find happiness maybe on that perfect spring day with the crack of the bat, opening day. Or maybe happiness is that perfect retirement someday. Now, we'll never say this out loud, but our culture has taught us that life is found in the name of prosperity and health and enjoyment and entertainment. And what none of us see until it's too late is that none of those things, no matter how good they are, and that health is good, family is good, all the prosperity is not a bad thing, but none of them are a solid foundation for life. They can't sustain our souls. And if we try to build a life on them, they will collapse beneath us. But now, I want you to look at it from the opposite direction as well. What I've been trying to say is, if we try to find our life anywhere but Jesus, we will end up disappointed. But the reverse is also true. If we seek our life in Jesus, then we will have him, and with him, we will have everything that we truly need. Now, I want to be clear. I am not telling you this morning that if you only believe strongly enough, your bank account will be full, your relationships will all go smooth as silk, and you'll never have a health worry again. Now, that faith is not a magic wand. It's not how it works. But when you find your life's meaning and your security and your purpose and your hope in Jesus, then that will change you. And you will relate to everything else and everyone else differently. Bit by bit, Jesus will work down your anxiety and fear. Bit by bit, he will fill you with more love. Yeah, your job may still be a pain. That relative of yours may still be a pain. But you'll find more patience, more love. And you'll also find yourself looking for opportunities to bless others, even in the midst of the pain. When you have Jesus, yes, relationships will still be bumpy. They'll still take a lot of effort. But Jesus will provide for you the wisdom and the mercy that you need so that you can find reconciliation and deeper love and true peace. And yes, we know as Christians, these mortal bodies will still give us trouble. But we do not need to fall into despair or fear. Because you see, the life that you find in Jesus is a life that not even death itself can take away. Not even the worst sin and evil, whether that comes from you or whether it is inflicted on you by others, can destroy what Jesus gives to you. So how do we get this life? How do we claim it? How do we live it? Well, John says, through believing. Well, what does that mean? Is there a statement of belief I need to find and sign and check the box? Now, believing is something much deeper than that. And I want you to think about it real quickly this morning in three ways. In terms of your eyes, in terms of your heart, and in terms of your mind. Your eyes. What you desire, what you seek, what you're setting your eyes on. Your heart. What you trust, what you depend on, your mind, how you think about God, how you think about yourself, how you think about others. See, we're getting the story here at the very end. John's gospel has just spent 19 chapters showing us Jesus as things like the bread of life, the light of the world, the life of humanity, the good shepherd, the way and the truth. John has gone through great lengths to show that Jesus willingly and lovingly accepted torture and execution, all so he could swallow up our sin with love and mercy. So now what John is saying, to believe in Jesus with your eyes, means to look at him. To set your eyes on Jesus and realize everything your soul desires is right there in Christ. Now you may think that you desire money. You may think that. Now, what you're really searching for there is security. And that can only be found in Jesus. Maybe you think you're just chasing fun. I just need to get away from it all. I need to have a good time. Now, what your heart really desires is joy. And joy can only be found in the perfect love of God. So this Easter season, ask yourself this question. What is it that I really desire? What am I setting my eyes on? And then ask, are there things that I want that are distracting me from Jesus? Are there things that I'm looking at that really, what I really want is found in its best and truest and most real form, not in what I'm looking at, but in Jesus? See, when we set our eyes on him, you will find that his glory and his love are more than enough to captivate your eyes and satisfy your soul. Same thing with your heart. Question here is, what do you trust? Where do you seek your peace and your safety? What is it that you're afraid of? And how do you try to put up walls to protect yourself from what you're afraid of? What John wants us to see is, anytime we try to have peace and security apart from God's provision and his love, all we are doing is setting ourselves up for more fear, more worry, and more stress. Because whatever we find our peace in, if it's not God, every circumstance of life can and will change. Nothing in this world is permanent. But if you trust in the God who is faithful even beyond death itself, then there is no change, no trial, no obstacle that can ever really rob your joy from you or take your peace away. So, where is your heart at home? Are you building a home for your heart apart from Jesus or in Jesus? Now the tough one, the mind. How do you think about others? How do you think about your loved ones or strangers? How do you think about yourself? What stories, what truths do you tell yourself about yourself? How do you think about your enemies? And that may be the neighbor whose dog keeps messing in your yard. It may be the people of the other political party. It may be ISIS and jihadists. How do we think about them? See, if we're going to believe in Jesus, then he's going to start changing the way we think. See, he's got all these crazy ideas like loving your enemies, being willing to sacrifice, welcoming and embracing those who are different from us, looking in the mirror and seeing ourselves as well as everyone else as God's beloved children. Those are the kind of thoughts that Jesus will get into your head. And if we are unwilling to go with the flow of love with our thoughts, then what we're doing is resisting the life that Jesus died to give us. What's your thinking like? Is it give and take? Is it everything has a price? Is it winners and losers? Us and them? Is it love and mercy and understanding? This is the time to check what's going on in our minds. See, John wrote his gospel as a witness to Jesus who wants you to have real life in his name. In a few minutes, we're going to gather around that font over there and we're going to baptize little Frank Stephen. And we can be confident that the life of Jesus is going to be given to him in the water and the word of God. But then we're also going to charge Frank and Britta with teaching their son what it means to belong to Jesus, what it means to follow Christ. And in the same way, all of us are charged with learning to find our life in Jesus alone, with our eyes, with our hearts, with our minds, in what we desire, in what we trust, in how we think. Easter isn't over. Don't miss out. Jesus is reaching out to you today. so that you may believe, and that in your believing, you may have life in his holy name. Amen.